Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I've a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm Betty Jo Tucker, your host, and Nikki Starr, my producer extraordinaire, should also be here sometime during the show to help us talk about George Clooney, Be Still My Heart. Hi, Nikki. Are you on board already? She's not here right now, but we'll probably hear from her soon. I do want to tell all the listeners that five of you will be receiving a copy of George Clooney, The Last Great Movie Star, written by Kimberly Potts, who just happens to be our special guest on today's show. Before I introduce Kimberly, I should explain to you what you should do if you would like to win one of these terrific books. Just send an email message to Nikki Starr, that's NikkiStarr, at blogtalkradio.com, and in the email message, tell her why you would like a copy of one of these books. And now, it's my very great pleasure to tell everyone a bit about our guest. She's an entertainment pop culture writer based in New York City who has written several books, including the new George Clooney biography we just mentioned, and Everything I Need to Know I Learned from a Chick Flick. She's also written for AOL Television, TV Guide, US Weekly, Inside TV, Movies.com, the LA Times.com, Daily Variety, E! Online, the Detroit Free Press, and the Cincinnati Inquirer. Whew, now I'm out of breath after reading all that. Hi, Kimberly. Welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters.
Hi, Betty. Thank you so much for having me today.
I'm very excited to have you as a guest because I am one of George Clooney's fans, and I also have written a biography about a celebrity, so I know how hard it is to do, but you should be very proud of your book. I just absolutely loved it. What was your biggest challenge in writing this biography?
One of the reasons I wanted to write the book was just because I think people kind of look at certain segments of George Clooney's career, and when you look at it overall, it's a pretty fascinating story. And so then the challenge of that, of course, was with the research. There was a lot to research because he's been in Hollywood probably a lot longer than most people realize.
Oh, I know it. People probably don't know that he started out back in television. I think he was on the Roseanne show.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him first, I think, on Sisters. So he's built up a lot of items to put on his resume. You know what, Kimberly? We already have a caller. I think let's go ahead and take a call. And I should remind listeners that the call-in number is 646-478-5668. But let's check this first caller. Hello, 619. You're on the air with Kimberly Potts and Betty Jo Tucker at Movie Addict Headquarters. Who's calling?
Hello, stay ladies. How are you doing?
This is Diana. Hi. Who is this?
Diana.
This is Diana. Diana Sanger, and Diana's been one of our guests on the show before, Kim. She has just won an award for her website, Classic Movie Guide, for being one of the finest entertainment sites on the web in the San Diego area. Thanks for calling in, Diana. Do you have a question for Kimberly?
I sure do.
Anna?
Hi, Kimberly.
Hi there, and congratulations on your award. That's amazing.
Thank you. Well, congratulations on this beautiful book. I'm sitting here looking at it. It's gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
I have two questions for you.
Okay.
From seeing and interviewing the elusive George, number one, is he the sexiest man alive? and number two, what about him surprised you the most?
Well, we didn't actually get to interview him for the book. He kind of has his own projects working, and a couple of his relatives and friends also have projects coming. So we did it based on research and talking with people that he'd worked with. Although I can say I don't think there's really any doubt in anyone's mind that he is, in fact, the sexiest man alive. I think all of us could answer that.
I vote for him.
You vote? Yeah, I've never heard anyone vote no to that yet. As far as the most surprising thing, I think, again, even, and I knew, you know, and again, it was part of the reason I wanted to write the book was to kind of explore the fact that he had had this career that has lasted and started a lot sooner than most of us realize. But even I was surprised when I really delved into it at just, you know, what a struggle it was for him early on. He actually moved to Los Angeles in 1982, and then the success with ER, which was really what set his career off on the path that it's on now, wasn't until 1994. So he was there, you know, a good dozen years before really achieving success. And that's pretty amazing because when you look back at those early TV guest spots that he did on shows like Riptide, and even when he was, you know, getting bigger parts on The Facts of Life and Roseanne, I still don't think that there was anyone other than him who would have, you know, would have believed that this person was ever going to win an Oscar and then be nominated as a director for an Oscar. So it's just a pretty fascinating story, I think.
Well, it sure sounds like it. And I wish you very much good luck with your book.
Thank you so much, Diana. I'm going to check out your website.
Thank you.
Diana, give your the URL to your website so our listeners can hear it and Kimberly can check it out.
It's classicmovieguide.com.
Great.
That's classic, C-L-A-S-S-I-C. classicmovieguide.com. Well, Diana, I know you're a busy lady, but thank you very much for calling in, and we'll be talking to you later, I hope.
My pleasure. Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Oh, that was so nice of Diana to call. I think she's
that
a big
nice.
George Clooney fan, and we have another caller, so why don't we take this call right now? Let's see if we can get this person on the line. Okay, I'm trying. Hello, 773. Thank you for holding. You're on the air with Kimberly Potts and Betty Jo Tucker on Movie Addict Headquarters. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, Betty Jo and Kimberly. My name is Lily. I'd like to ask a question.
Lily? Hi, Lily.
Hi. I'm fine.
Hi, Lily.
Anybody, you said George Clooney was on ER, right? Did anybody know that he was on Head of the Class also?
No, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, I used to watch that show. He was on there too, Head of the Class.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Lily. Thank you for
calling
our attention to that. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
He's been on more things than we even dreamed of.
I know, like Roseanne, you know, like she said, ER.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been doing a lot. He's a good actor, you know. I watch a lot of his movies, so.
What's your favorite one, Lily?
My favorite movie, Ocean's 11.
That is a good one, isn't it?
Yeah. That's
well, it's favorite. It's certainly a popular one.
Yeah, that's
he
my favorite.
He built up his fan base with that. Lily, can you stay on the line for a little while? I see we have another caller.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Would it be all right if we took this next call?
Okay.
Okay, Lily, thank you.
Thank you, Lily.
Okay.
516, hello. You're on the air with Kimberly Potts and Betty Jo Tucker.
Hi, how are you?
Attic Headquarters. Who is speaking?
My name is Brett.
Brett?
Hi, how are you?
How are you, Brett?
I'm great. So
you
say
have
that,
a question for Kimberly?
Yes. You say that George Clooney is the last great movie star?
Mm-hmm.
Is that because of his unique, you know, classic style that separates him from everyone else?
That's definitely a big part of it, and I don't think there, you know, if you take just that one aspect, there probably are a few other stars who have that kind of classic leading man good look. But I think, and the reason I really believe that he is the last great movie star is he's kind of the overall package of the classic leading man looks. He's willing to, you know, he makes the big popcorn kind of movies, but is also willing to take a pay cut to make the smaller movies that maybe may not make as much money, but that he's really passionate about. He has a very good reputation as being a great coworker, both with his castmates and crew. He's someone who understands that working in Hollywood, and especially at his level, is just as much of being smart about the business side of things as well as, mm-hmm. as kind of enjoying the perks of being a celebrity. He's very gracious with fans and with journalists. He understands that there's a certain amount of publicity that goes along with everything. And I think when you just put all of those things together, there really is no one else like him. And unfortunately, I don't really see anyone else in the younger stars like that either.
Now, I saw the movie Michael Clayton a few weeks ago, and I thought that, you know, it was built up to be, you know, a very good drama, and I was very disappointed by the movie. I thought that George Clooney was kind of misused.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, now, like, this past weekend I saw American Gangster, which is 3 hours long. It was probably one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life. Now, you take actors like Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe. What separates them from George Clooney?
Denzel Washington, I don't think there is much that separates them. I would call him a really great movie star, too. I think he, unfortunately, hasn't had as much exposure as George Clooney and hasn't had the publicity, maybe, that George Clooney has. I don't think George Clooney is any better actor than Denzel Washington by any means. With Russell Crowe, you know, unfortunately, you have to look at the tabloid aspect of his career, and it's huge. And, you know, people are always going, no matter what he does, no matter how many Oscars he wins, and I have no doubt that he has another 6 or 7 at least Oscar-caliber performances or Oscar-winning performances in his future. But people are never going to be able to separate the tabloid phone-throwing hotel incident and Russell Crowe.
Right.
From his career. So, and with Clooney and Denzel Washington, that's just not the case. They are those classic leading men who, again, understand they have to be gracious with publicity and with fans and also, obviously, are incredibly talented. And with Denzel Washington, as with Clooney, they're both in front of the camera and behind as directors and producers. So, and I agree with you, American Gangster was an incredible movie.
Well,
now,
all three of these actors, Brett, that you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
Are very charismatic, and I think that's one thing that they all three have in common. They sort of command our attention whenever they come on screen. But, well, thank you, Brett, for calling. We really appreciate it, and maybe we can do a program on Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe
uh-huh.
one of these days, and you can call back in, okay?
I have one last question. Your name is Betty Jo Tucker?
Right.
Are you related to Matt Tucker?
No, not that I know of.
Oh, okay. Just curious.
Well, thanks again for calling in.
And
Brett.
Feel free to tune into my show this Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And what show is that, Brett?
World Talk Live.
World Talk Live. Okay. Thanks for calling and letting us know, and we'll hope to hear from you again. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brett.
Lily,
yes.
Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Did you have one more question? And then we're going to go ahead with the interview that was originally scheduled. All right. What else would you like to ask Kimberly?
Well, I think what Kimberly's doing is very great, you know, writing this book, the biography of George Clooney. And I think she was right when she made that point to that gentleman just called that he has more exposure now.
Yeah,
George Clooney,
mm-hmm.
Russell Crowe, or you know any other actor that's out there, and you know he's coming up from he you know if you look at his younger days from, like she said, from Sister or Head of the Class or ER, and look at him now, he turned into a major superstar, you know, he's a big superstar.
He certainly is. That's a very, very good point. Well,
he is. So
Well, thank you very much for calling in, Lily,
okay.
And we'll hope that you call back on another program, too, and we'll hope to hear from you again.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you, Lily.
All right, thanks.
I was wondering, Kimberly, you can see how many fans George Clooney has and how much people are interested in your book, but what were some of the surprises, your biggest surprises, as you were doing research about George Clooney and his life and his career? What were your biggest surprises that you came up with?
Well, you know, you always, I think anybody who's read any kind of feature interview with George Clooney, you always hear about how well-liked he is amongst his co-stars, and not just with the cast, but with the crew members. And, you know, that it's kind of, you always wonder, well, is that a publicity thing or is it really true? And I really didn't find anything to the contrary of that. He is very, very well-liked on all of his movie sets, and it's a well-deserved relationship that he has with these people. He's very protective of the crew members. You know, there's a story in the book about when he made the movie Three Kings and didn't get along with the movie's director.
That was David Russell.
Was David Russell. And part of that, a big part of the reason that led to their ultimate fight on the set was because he felt that David Russell was treating the crew members badly. Uh-huh. And I think that adds to also, you know, the kind of moniker of making him the last great movie star in Hollywood. There aren't a lot of people at that level who feel they have to stick up for the crew members. And I don't think there are a lot of them who would, but it's something that he's done consistently. So, I think he has a reputation of being a nice guy, and it's very well deserved. And a lot of the time when you hear those kind of things, it isn't always true, but it really is with him.
So that was a surprise to you. You thought a lot of that might have been just PR.
Definitely, and I think it is a lot of the time when you hear it about various people, but it really doesn't seem to be with him. There weren't, I guess that the overall biggest surprise is that there weren't that many surprises.
Okay.
There aren't a lot of skeletons rattling around there. What you see, I think, is what you get with him, which is, again, part of the reason that people find him so endearing.
Well, have you received any reactions from him after the book was published?
We haven't yet. I know that we sent a copy to his publicist, but we haven't heard anything yet.
Welcome to the club. It's been a couple of years now since my Susan Sarandon book, and I have yet to hear from her. But my husband tells me to be happy about that because at least I wasn't sued.
That's true. That is
whenever you're writing about somebody, you know, that something in the book might not sit just right with them. So I guess if we don't hear anything, no news is good news,
is
right?
Exactly.
Do you know we have another caller? So you're very, very popular. Let's take this call now and see what question comes up. Hello, 303. Thanks for holding. You're on the air with Kimberly Potts and Betty Jo Tucker at Movie Addict Headquarters.
Hi, Betty Jo and Kimberly. This is Denise in Conifer, Colorado.
Another Coloradoan. Thank you, Denise, for calling in again. Do you have a question for Kimberly?
Yes, I do. I think the great actors, great movie stars, were from the golden era. Who could you compare George Clooney to of that period, and why?
Great question.
That is a great question. Thank you, Denise. I think I agree with the person that he is most often compared to, which is Cary Grant. And, you know, honestly, I think one of the reasons that people make that comparison, why it pops into their minds first of all, is because they both look so great in tuxedos. Look at pictures of the two of them side by side in a tuxedo. It just, you know, I think George Clooney could go back in time and be right at home with Cary Grant. But I also think it's the same kind of thing where, you know, Cary Grant had the classic leading man good looks, but he was also a very gracious person, both with his celebrity and just in his personal life. And there were a lot of, along with George Clooney, there are a lot of humanitarian efforts. They use their celebrity for charity events. Obviously, both incredibly talented people incredibly talented actors, and just had a good reputation both amongst the fans, amongst their coworkers, amongst anybody that they ever worked with. And that may sound like a simple thing, but it really isn't. And when you know, just to try to come up with a list of other actors, other celebrities in Hollywood who kind of steer clear of tabloid coverage and who aren't on the cover of the magazines every week for that kind of behavior, you're hard-pressed to come up with a list, and that really does set Clooney apart, and I think, you know, again, makes him kind of that old classic Hollywood movie star that there just aren't that many of anymore.
Well, and I think part of it is that we didn't know very much about the old movie stars, and maybe that is, like you're saying about George Clooney, he's a little bit mysterious. You know, he's not on the tabloids all the time, just like, you know, they kept things pretty quiet back in the golden era where we were allowed to admire and adore them. We didn't have to know all their dirty laundry.
That's very true. And that actually speaks to what I was saying earlier, that kind of one of the biggest surprises of writing the book was that there weren't that many surprises. And, you know, let's be honest, with someone at George Clooney's level, it's probably not because people haven't tried to find out some dirt on him. I think it just isn't there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, probably right.
Well,
thank you very much.
Oh, Denise, thank you so much for that wonderful question. And we really appreciate you calling in and call in again.
I will. Thank you.
Bye, Denise.
Bye.
Bye, Denise.
Bye, Kimberly.
That's great. We start to get regular callers. I love that, and I love the people to call in. Thank you so much for the three of you who have called. I wondered what your favorite George Clooney performances were. I really couldn't tell that from your book, which shows how objective you are, Kimberly.
To narrow it down to one, I would probably have to say Out of Sight, which is just a great, stylish movie. He had such incredible chemistry with Jennifer Lopez, and I think it was the first movie for me where I thought, you know, he obviously was great on ER, and it was clear that he was a huge TV star, but he still hadn't really had a big success, either box office-wise or critical-wise, with the movies, and that was the first one that really made me say, wow, this guy, he definitely is a movie star, too. But I also, and I didn't get to say this to Brett, but I actually really did love Michael Clayton.
Yes, I did too. I did too, very much.
I think he was incredible. I think he should, and I would be surprised if he doesn't get another Oscar nomination for it. But I think the thing with that maybe was that people were expecting it to be more of a political, legal thriller, and it really, I remember when I saw it with my husband and we left the thriller or the theater, he said, you know, that's really just a great character study. And I think that's true. It was kind of marketed a little oddly because it does have some legal thriller aspects, but it really is a great character study, and he is just fantastic in it.
I thought so, and he's on my list of actors that I'm going to recommend for any kind of an award that he can get for that particular role. But my very favorite George Clooney performance was a quirky one. It was his role in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? He was hilarious in that. I still see him doing the lip-syncing to Man of Constant Sorrow and his up there on the stage and his big brown eyes just dancing. And he brought so much energy and humor and humanism to that role. It's really one of my favorite performances of all time for any actor, to tell you the truth. What did you think about him in that movie?
I love that movie, too, and everything from the accent to the Dapper Dan man line, which is the line that I always remember most from that movie, and it just will make me laugh just hearing that line. He really was great in it, and I think that was another movie where it showed a different aspect of, you know, he was always kind of the smart aleck character, and he had that down very well on TV and in a couple of movie roles. But it was beyond that. It was a very smart, clever performance, and you know, he took a lot of care, and in the book I talk about it a little bit. He wanted to get the accent down really well, so he had an uncle who lived in the Kentucky area where he grew up record a tape for him because he had the accent that he wanted to capture for the role. So he had his uncle record a tape just talking for him, and then he'd listen to it over and over again until he could get the accent down himself. And that's really a big part of, I think, why that his performance works so well, is because of, he has the accent down really well. And it's just, I agree with you, I think it's probably his funniest role, even more so than the Ocean's movies.
Yes, I agree. Kimberly, what's the most important thing you'd like people to know about you and your book?
Well, I think, as you know, there was a lot of effort put into it, a lot of work. It was really important to me I wasn't trying to write a book that was going to be sensationalistic or that was going to have any shocking revelations. I just wanted to write a good book that was a good overview of his entire career. Because, again, I think that is the most surprising thing and the thing that a lot of people don't know, just how long he worked to have the career that he has. It was very thoroughly researched, and, I think I tried to paint a picture both of his career and of who he is as a person. He's very colorful, very funny, very well-liked, very caring, very close to friends and family, loyal guy who's worked very, very hard for very long time to get where he is, and it's just a fascinating story to me.
Well, I found it to be just a great, entertaining book, and I think it's a must-read for Clooney fans and for anyone who's interested in going behind the scenes to learn more about his movies. Do you have any projects that you're working on now that you want to mention?
I'm still writing for the websites that you mentioned, movies.com. I write a daily movie news roundup there every morning, so you can check that out there. And I write every day for AOL TV also. It's a good place to check stuff out. And, I'm actually trying to work on another book about the history of female comedians. So.
Oh, will you come back when you get that book out?
I'd love to. Thank you, Betty.
That would be great. And then maybe the next time you're on, we can talk about the book with the great title, Everything I Need to Know I Learned from a Chick Flick. But our time, I see, is almost up now, and it just went by so fast.
It really did.
You've just been such a fun guest. So thank you again for coming on the show, Kimberly, and good luck with your upcoming book, and we'll hope to see you again on the show sometime in the future.
Thank you so much, Betty.
This is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for all their support in connection with this show. Special thanks again to Kimberly Potts and to my wonderful producer, Nikki Starr, as well as to people who called in, Denise and Brett and Lily, and everyone who listened live or to the archive segment. Please come back next time for a spirited discussion about Santa Claus flicks with the Mad Movie Man. In the meantime, remember to check out our movie reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's www.reeltalkreviews.com. As usual, now, to close out the show, here's the talented A.J. Daniels with a song Nikki and I dedicate to all our loyal Blog Talk Radio listeners.
Stay with me and me. much I love you. Then you'd be forced to love me too. If you knew how much I adore you, you'd stay with me and be true.